Coming up on this, our very first episode, we have a special co-host. We talk samurai and gokaiger, and we try to convince our guests to watch the Sentai with mixed results. All this and more coming up on
Podcast Sentai Power Ninja!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast Sentai Power Rangers, Episode 1. This show is all about Power Rangers and the Sentai upon which they're based. I am your host, Naim Siddiqui, but you may know me better on the internet as Kuhan, and I'm joined, as always, for the first time, by my faithful manservant, Colton Clayton. How you doing, Colton?
I'm doing fantastic there.
All right. And joining us also is a special guest this episode. You may know him for his Atop the Fourth Wall reviews, or better in the Power Rangers universe, for his history of the Power Rangers videos, Linkara, also known as Lewis Lovehog. How you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. This episode's getting off to a great start. Okay, so then let's move right in to the meat stuff, which is going to be, we're going to talk about the current Power Rangers series and the current Sentai series, which are Power Rangers Samurai and Kaizuku Sentai Gokaiger, respectively. So let's get right on into Samurai. Go, go, Power Rangers! Go, go, Power Rangers! Okay, guys. So, Power Rangers Samurai just started a couple months ago. We've gotten the first 8 episodes, and we thought, okay, let's leave in a little bumper before we start this show. You know, we've been planning on starting the show for weeks. We decided to leave a little bumper so we could talk about our initial thoughts before we, you know, just decide to pass the show off immediately. I've seen all 8 episodes. Colton's seen all 8 episodes, and Lewis, you've seen all 8 episodes, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So I wanted to get a few initial thoughts about the show. Colton, what have you thought so far about the show? Let's go with characters. What do you think about the characters? Are you relating to the characters? What do you think?
Well, generally speaking, I'm not sure if I relate per se to any characters, other than the fact that, you know, we've all got flaws, so I can kind of relate to that with some of the characters. But, well, I haven't been with Power Rangers in a while. I had a falling out like some people have, and I just recently came back, and it's kind of weird to see them go back to the more silly aspect when some series were starting to get a little bit more serious last I watched. But that said, I'm enjoying it. Generally speaking, I don't relate to any one character too strongly, but like I said, I kind of like Mike because he's kind of that goofy, fun character that every series seems to have. I kind of always enjoyed those sillier characters in the right moments. I mean, not if they're just, you know, completely goofy 24/7, but he's kind of seeming like the character that can be serious when he needs to be. I like that.
And what about you, Lewis? Any characters you specifically like, dislike, relate to?
I don't really dislike any of the characters, although Mentor G needs to actually, like, do something.
Well, he rode on a motorcycle.
He's on a motorcycle. But for the most part, I like all the characters for the most part. Kevin seems to be all over the place on what the heck his character is actually supposed to be. But it is only the first 8 episodes, so we'll probably see more as the season progresses. I don't really relate to any of them, not being a chosen samurai warrior or a teenager anymore. Actually, I don't even know how old the characters are supposed to be.
I think they're supposed to be teenagers.
Hmm.
Because I think on the casting list they had something about like 18 to 25 or something like that. So,
But yeah, for the most part, I'm liking them.
Personally, I am still a teenager. I also relate a little bit to Mike. Personally, I'm a little annoyed with Emily. Not as much with the character as much as her voice is just a little bit scathing to me. I don't know. That's just a personal thing. It kind of bugs me to listen to her speak. It's fine. The acting is appropriately hammy, I suppose.
Well, I want to get onto the acting thing because a lot of the reactions that I read, I get from Ranger Board, and I contend with a lot of people who say that these people are bad actors or that there is bad acting present in this series. No, this is not bad acting. It is certainly nothing to write home about. This is not, you know, Laurence Olivier or anything like truly Shakespearean, but this is not bad acting. This is actually pretty appropriate for Power Rangers from the series that I have been going through. That you want bad acting? I have seen bad acting from films to television shows in general. This is nothing truly awful. But at the same time, it's also nothing that's really special or spectacular.
Right. I guess we could say it's not like Jaden is being portrayed by, say, Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, this is not your Tommy Wiseau or the complete dullness of Birdemic or after last season. These characters are convincing in their delivery, and that's the thing that we have to always remind ourselves, especially when looking back at, say, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the original stuff. The question you want to ask yourself is, do they actually seem to care about the lines they're saying? Do they actually speak them with some form of energy? Do they lower their voice when they need to be? Does their tone or inflections change whenever they're speaking about something more serious? And I'm seeing that, at least, in a few episodes. Body language is also something that's not necessarily touched on a lot in Power Rangers. If you look at, say, Anthony Perkins in Psycho, every single scene he's in, there's always just something about him that you can always tell that he's trying to do, just like a twitch or something. But you don't see that with, say, a regular TV series. But for what they are, it's convincing, and that's what it needs to be. They need to actually seem like they are this character, they are this person.
Right, they're believable as the characters.
I can definitely agree with that. They all give that kind of presence of real honesty, because you can tell like they sound like the characters they're supposed to be sounding like. That said, they're not going to be fancy or tight-lipped or overly expressive, but they do deliver what they're promising, which is just, you know, some people who were trained to be warriors. But also, we're normal, trying to be normal teens at the same time for some of them.
Yep.
I did want to touch into a few things like Bulk and Spike. We haven't seen a lot of those two, but we have seen a little bit of it. A nice nod to the old Bulk and Skull days, and we have Paul Schreier back as Bulk, which is exciting. I think one thing that I'd like to touch on is that we hear a lot of similar musical notes. They brought back a reimagining of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers theme, which I'm not sure I love the guy who's singing it. He has some sort of weird accent in there, but whatever.
It's possible that he's a New Zealander who's singing it. I don't know.
You know, Rangers together. He's like pushing it.
I'm liking it though. It's just a great nostalgia trip to hear the song being used again, and you get to hear shades of some of the other background music, like the villain song.
I really noticed that I could hear the villain song, and I'm like, wow, that's like, and like, I never noticed that it was the villain song before, but like, watching it, I'm like, is that the original villain song? Like, is that back? Mm. And I think in a few episodes you heard the original Bulk and Skull theme when Bulk and Spike are on screen.
Not the exact theme. It's another reimagining of it. It's another new arrangement of it.
Yeah.
But it's still enjoyable. Yeah, and Bulk and Spike themselves, a lot of people have said Spike is grating. I can see where they're going with that. But to me, I'm just enjoying it.
I think Spike is really trying to push the Skull voice, and it's not coming naturally. And it just sounds a little bit forced. But other than that, like, I'm sort of just hoping that he just pulls it back a little bit, because he's like really up in the nasal thing. And it sounds a little fake, but you know, if he pulls it back a little bit, I'd like to, you know, I think it'd be perfectly fine.
The comedy itself, though, is still as good as it was in the old days. This is still really good stuff. What they need to do with the characters, they need to actually have them interact with the Rangers or have some kind of, you know, something that relates to the actual main characters. Now, the best part about the Bulk and Skull back in the days, sure, a lot of the time their plots were removed from the Rangers, but they at least interacted with them a lot. They would, you know, talk to quote unquote the geeks.
Yeah. Well, there was a scene in the latest episode where Spike, you know, they happened to be at the same arcade and he noticed them and started chasing after him. But I'd like to see, because technically I'm fairly certain that these are teenagers, and so I'd like to see maybe a scene where they're in school or something, and, you know, maybe Spike goes to the same school as them or something like that. But
just some kind of interaction.
Yeah, really anything. But really, it seems that what they're trying to do is their mentor is trying to keep them away from the rest of
regular
the world,
people,
which is kind of strange.
It's kind of strange, but I get what they're going for with it because they've been pushing this since the start of the season. This idea that that the dedication to being a ranger is basically their lives now. And they're hoping that someday they will actually be able to return to their normal lives once the evil has been defeated.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a theme I'd love to see explored to a greater extent later on. Like, they finally just grow so sick and tired of life as a ranger that they just maybe they quit. This is going to be something.
We got a hint of that in the first episode that we saw. Not the first episode. No, the first episode that we saw. It still bothers me that we still haven't seen the first episode. But the first episode that we saw, we sort of saw Mike try to get back and see his friends for a little while, but you know, we didn't see much of it. And even in the most recent episode, where mentor sort of kicked Mike out for a little bit, we sort of saw him go back to regular life. But we haven't seen it fully explored. But that does bring me to something I did want to talk about, which is that we haven't seen the first two episodes. Which I feel like it a little bit for me, it detracts a little bit from the experience. What do you think?
There is a positive and negative to doing it the way they did. Now, the negative, of course, is that we don't actually get that from a story perspective. We don't get to see the team come together. We don't get to see what the villains and their actual motivation is. Sure, they make it pretty clear in these early episodes, but we don't get to see the actual, you know, start. And that is a negative in terms of story. The positive of it, though, is that we just jump right into the action, and it'll probably help for little kids who are starting to watch the series. And little kids are watching the series. I've been following the ratings quite closely, and, you know, anecdotes from people who have said that their own kids, or they've seen kids who are, like, practicing the Samurizer moves. For little kids, it allows them to just jump in without having to having to deal with a first episode that's usually mostly set up. Like I said, there is a positive to doing it the way they did.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, for long-term fans, or just for a general story sense, it's a lot more annoying.
Right. Well, even, like, I was watching Power Rangers when I was 10, and I think at 10, if I didn't watch the first couple episodes, like, if I watched the, you know, sat down and watched the first episode, I was like, oh, well, now they're just together. You know, it could be confusing early on. You know, I would have liked to see maybe they pull an hour-long block where they have plenty of action in there. But, Colton, I haven't heard from you for a while. What do you think about them not doing the first two episodes in sequence?
Well, that is kind of frustrating to me because I'm the kind of person I can handle things non-sequentially, but really I prefer to have at least some inkling of the beginning of what develops these characters, the start, you know, kind of give us a feel of, like, why they came together, how they came together, what their threat is. All this stuff needs to be developed, and while I do agree that there is an advantage to going straight to the action, I also feel like it almost doesn't give us enough reason to care about the villains if we don't even know that their own original motivations and setup and, like, how they awakened, what caused all this. It's really something that I feel needs to be touched on.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second and bring up another series that did this, that's not Power Rangers, Teen Titans. Now, as a longtime fan of the comic books of Teen Titans, jumping into the cartoon without seeing them come together and having to wait four seasons before they actually show the origin story, it can be kind of annoying, but on the other hand, it worked. The series was a success. And we still learned enough about the characters that we didn't have to necessarily see the origin right away.
That's true, but the other thing is that they filmed. It's the Teen Titans was made with a mindset that this is how we're going to go. We're just going to jump straight into the action. We're going to do all this, and then season four, they're like, okay, well, now we'll show how the team came together. As opposed to with Samurai, they have, like, this the third episode was written in mind with the first and second episodes, or I'm pretty sure it's the third episode that we saw first, was written in mind with the fact that the first and second episodes had already been written. And so,
yeah.
And so they'd already, you know, like, they had assumed that we'd already seen the first and second episodes when they'd written the later episodes.
And you got to add on to the fact that with Teen Titans, they're a character that did exist in comics, so even if we don't know their exact origin in this series, we do have a general idea of how they came together and what some of these characters are. So it's not as bad, for example, compared to this series, which these are new characters to most people. So
I feel like, though, with circumstantial evidence from watching the first 8 episodes, we can assume that Jaden's been there the longest, and then Kevin, and then me and Emily in some order, and then Mike is the newbie. And generally, most Ranger series start with at least one person coming in brand new to join the team. Whether they're already multiple Rangers or there's already a team of, in this case, Samurai Warriors, who then they all become Rangers together when the last person joins or something like that. At least one person is going to be new, and I'm assuming from what we've seen that person was Mike. Yeah, so that's stuff that we figured out through circumstantial evidence. But it would have been nice to see the first 2 episodes that had been written, and all, like, it actually seems like a lot of these episodes could have taken place out of order anyways, except for a few. Which is another thing I'd like to talk about, which is the return of Ricardo Medina Jr. as Deker or Decker?
Decker.
That's right, Decker. Ricardo Medina Jr. as Decker, or Rick Medina as he's portrayed in the credits.
Now credited, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. I'm not sure why.
Might just be changing standards of Screen Actors Guild or requirements, or just he's calling himself something different these days.
Yeah. The first time he appeared, I thought I heard hints of Jason David Frank real quick, because it was a little bit deepened and stuff. And so I'm like, hey, is that Jason David Frank? So immediately I went online, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, well, it's Ricardo Medina. That's cool, too. What do you guys think about the returning of this character, this actor? This actor to the series.
I would love for it if it actually was Cole.
That would
because I am a fan of Wild Force, and I really was disappointed with the last 10 minutes of Wild Force, and how just like...
I think everybody knows.
Everyone just like kind of moved on with their lives, and we never got to see a team up, we never got to see them reclaim their jackets and morphers. The jackets thing still pisses me off. They probably are not going to go that route because it seems like they're really trying to push a back-to-basics kind of series with this.
Sure.
And not have that much continuity with previous ones outside of Bulk.
It would be interesting if they brought him in as the sixth Ranger in the series.
Mm.
They did something similar in Mystic Force, where...
spoilers, I'm not going to spoil it. Mystic Force yet.
I'm not going to spoil
Though
it.
If you're bringing up the Mystic Mother thing, I do know about that already.
No, and I'm not bringing that up, so I'm not going to spoil it. But for the fans who have watched Mystic Force, they did something similar in Mystic Force. You could even say they did something similar in Mighty Morphin with Tommy, who started off as a villain. You know what? Wild Force. They did it in Wild Force where I've never actually seen Wild Force. Merrick was the wolf guy first, and then came back and joined the team. So they could do something similar with this character. I'd like to see it. It'll be interesting. They might not, but would you? I'm sure you guys would like to see that.
Yeah, the question is just whether or not he's Cole, or if it's just the same actor playing a different character.
Yeah,
I've heard that Mentor G actually was Grum from SPD.
Yeah. And they do that. They actually do that a lot. It's a lot easier with. In the New Zealand, they recycled lots of actors from SPD to Mystic Force. They changed costumes, and they were the same actors in different roles. like Piggy plays Piggy from SPD plays a different guy out of costume in Mystic Force. So it's a lot easier to feel, from in costume to out of costume. Actually, the guy John Tui who plays what's Doggy Kruger. Is the first Power Rangers actor to play 2 different Rangers in 2 different series, so it would be interesting to see Ricardo Medina who they flew in from America to play a Ranger, but that's what we'd like to see. Who knows what they're gonna do with it?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, though. Of course, since we don't know, I have not seen Shinkenger, so I don't know if the details if Decker's supposed to be.
They can always change the story. It's actually in Shinkenger, I think it's just a friend of the Red Rangers or something like that. So
well, they have taken a lot of liberties from it, when, just for the fact that they changed who the Red Ranger was from royalty that these people were guarding to just a bunch of friends who've been trained to be samurai.
Yeah, they take a lot of liberties with the series. Like even in Mighty Morphin, it was supposed to be ancient warriors who came back from the past or something like that.
Like 100-something million years ago from dinosaur tribes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
What I've read, a lot of the people who are also naysaying samurai are also saying that they aren't changing enough from Shinkenger, that the scripts are almost literal adaptations, except for changing a few bits here and there.
Well,
and in fact, that does create some problems, because the Kevin-centered episode with the fish thing?
Yeah.
Random fishermen. He had a much bigger role in the episode originally. Just
comes
like,
out of nowhere.
Oh, hi, random fisherman, help me
out.
Yeah,
there was another episode where it's I think the wedding episode. The episode itself, the Power Rangers footage seemed to be very Yellow Ranger and Pink Ranger centric, whereas the Sentai footage seemed to be Blue Ranger and Pink Ranger centric.
Yeah, apparently they dressed up the blue or green ranger, I can't remember which, in the fake wedding outfit.
Yeah, so. So, you know.
So good change there. Good change.
Yeah, good change one, there. I don't know. Don't want to traumatize the kids.
One of my favorite changes actually was it was in, I think, the first episode they showed, is because in the Power Rangers version, the Red Ranger's like, we got to work as a team, and then immediately runs off on his own. But in the Japanese version, they were trying to hold him back because he was royalty, he shouldn't be going on alone, and he's like, basically, screw that, I'm going to attack them by myself. So it's like he's preaching teamwork and then running off with his giant Buster sword.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, hey guys, we gotta work as a team. Now step back while I do this.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think they might have gotten some of the names for the episodes switched around too. The first episode shown, which actually, by the way, apparently has the production number of 101.
That's interesting.
Which is really odd if that was not meant to be the first episode. It's called The Team Unites, yet it's very much about the Green Ranger having to do stuff on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that was supposed to be the first episodes. Who knows? Who knows what they're doing in the naming?
Yeah, we don't know if it's Nickelodeon or Saban who showed it out of order.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I really wonder what they did.
It could be a network direction.
Maybe by the end of the season we'll figure out what it's supposed to be, I guess.
One thing I do like about Decker, and this is actually just a scene in general that I liked from this, the episode where Kevin and Shane had to, is Shane right? No, Jaden. Yeah,
like
where Kevin and Jaden had to fight. There is this one scene where Decker just suddenly walks in and they're like, oh hi Decker, we don't even know who you are, and yet we're just like talking to you. Where he explains the sword stance that Jaden is in and talks about the way he's holding it.
He just shows up and explains everything and then walks away.
Yeah, but what I like about that is that he actually explains like actual sword play technique with it. He's holding it in a way so that his arms aren't getting tired versus Kevin who's fighting as if he's training.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I like about that is that it's that most of the time in Power Rangers, if you have fight scenes like this or that's supposed to be like recommendation, it goes for generic, cliched bullcrap of trust your instincts. No, you don't actually like explain actual techniques. They just say, you know, something generic and cliched and stupid. And whereas this scene actually shows like, hi, this is how he should be fighting, and he's actually doing, and this is why it's a good thing to do. And I love that, because it shows intelligence, it shows smartness,
it shows research.
Yeah, yeah, they actually did some research for something.
Why does a samurai hold his sword like that against his shoulder? Because that way he's not having to carry the full weight of it. His arm can be more limp, it's less tiring. Wow! That's smart.
Well, I actually learned something watching this show.
Yes.
And it wasn't don't talk to strangers.
Exactly.
It just took 18 years to learn something useful.
Well, you know, we learned the useful stuff when we were, you know, 4 through 10 years old watching the show back in the day.
Yeah, I just love that scene.
Yeah, no. I also do love the part that he just shows up and talks to them and then leaves. And they don't question who he is at all.
Yeah.
as if like, oh yeah, you're like my uncle, right? No? Who are you? Wait,
must just be, like, used to this by now, with the fisherman thing, too. Just random people showing up, saying something, and then leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hey, it's the plot expedition guy of the day. He's come to tell us our plot and then go off and never see him again, apparently. See ya!
is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Like, the villains, actually. We haven't actually really touched on the villains themselves.
Master Zandred needs to stop yelling.
Yeah, besides that stuff, like, I haven't really noticed much development of the villains themselves.
Except for Dayu, who I actually really like. She has great voice behind her, great voice actress, and I want to learn more about her.
Yeah, there's Dayu, and then obviously Decker, who is, you know, a little less of the villain. He's more of an anti-hero right now.
And he's more interested in...
Mysterious. But besides him, and then we have some development on Dahlia, but the rest, like, you know, we know what they're trying to do, and that's about it.
Oh, that's another good scene with Decker that I want to talk about. He goes to the villains and says, "Hi, I want to kill the Red Ranger, I want to fight, but at the same time, I don't want to get in the way of your plans, so you guys just tell me what your plans are so I don't, get in your hair." I like that. It's another thing that shows intelligence for villains.
Yeah.
And the one thing I always always like to see in any television show, especially a Power Rangers show, is intelligence, where we actually see them thinking about their plans and not just being, "Wow, they're talking about football today. I'll create a football monster."
Well, it's kind of hard to have an intelligent villain who's too busy drinking his medicine all the time to think.
His booze.
Yes, the of course the censoring for the children.
His special hot sauce.
His booze.
Basically, no,
I'm
they're not
say
fooling
that.
Anyone.
I'm gonna say that when I actually get to Samurai and History Power Rangers, because Xander is busy drinking his booze.
Yeah, and you should probably find a quote where they're saying he's drinking his medicine. Booze.
You know, the whole medicine thing just makes me think back to Rita and her headaches. It's just like, oh god, not this again.
Is there and anything else you guys want to talk about on Samurai? Should we move on?
You know, on the matter of going back to the whole Bulk of Skull thing, I'm kind of thinking that they're actually trying to build up the actual meeting. We've had all this character development with Bulk, and we haven't seen him meet the new group yet, so I'm kind of wondering if they're going to just build it up, show him growing as his own personal samurai training. Maybe they could throw us a complete twist and try to bring in Bulk as, like, the Sixth Ranger.
I think it'd be more likely if they just brought Spike in.
Yeah, Spike is more likely to be the Sixth Ranger.
I mean, you know, they could always put him and do like a Justin thing where it shows him getting in the suit, and then the suit becomes thin. But, for some strange reason, I don't think they'll do that.
I love this form-fitting suit. It's so perfect.
Yeah, right?
I think it would be awesome, though, if Spike were to become the Sixth Ranger. I think that would be a nice twist on the relationship and be the next step in the development for Bulk and for the Bulk and Skull dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting where one of them actually does become a Ranger. And so, like, where Mighty Morphin they were trying to learn from they were trying to figure out who the Rangers were, and, you know, like you said in your reviews, they were all good at heart, and they had the dream where they sort of were the Rangers. If Skull's son, who Bulk has been training, becomes a Ranger, that would be an interesting dynamic, and I would like to see that. That would be really cool.
But it would definitely be like almost like the perfect evolution from a sort of enemy to friendly on friendly turns to pretty much good guys to actually joining the team formally. I mean, if you want to, Bulk could even be like the second mentor that kind of trains around with them.
Or, you know, hangs out and screws stuff up there.
Even if Spike does not become the Sixth Ranger, I do like this new idea for the dynamic. Because even if it's not Skull anymore, we get to see we've seen the two's evolution throughout the years, and now we see the next step for Bulk, who has to now serve as a mentor. And not all of his advice is all that bad. And they get in some great lines, and we get to see Bulk, who's actually really, really changed as when he was a teenager. I mean, can you imagine Bulk going to a kid's softball practice or game and then just cheering him on? The old days, can you see him doing that? Like he is
the
nowadays?
The old days, he'd probably be making fun of the kids.
Exactly.
It's good that the characters matured.
Yes, yeah, we have to get character development.
They're the only characters who develop.
I mean, I guess it's a character development that's been developed from you know 15 years ago, who most people watching, you know, all the kids watching the show are going to be like, who? What's going on? Who's this? Like, hey, it's a funny old fat guy.
Exactly.
But for us, we get this character who we've he's a fan favorite for years. Who, you know, I'm sure people cheered when they saw them return in Wild Force, the team of Bulk and Skull returning in Wild Force.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure you cheered when you saw it on your screen.
Oh, hell yeah.
yeah, so you know, to see the return of at least half of the dynamic and the Spike, at least, you know, being Skull's son, if they couldn't get, you know, even if they could get Jason Narvi, if they wanted to have something different as opposed to just bring back Bulk and Skull, having the Bulk and Spike dynamic it's a good throwback for us old fans and an interesting, you know, I want to see a kid's opinion on what's happening with Bulk and Spike. I'd love to see a little kid like, yeah, I like Bulk and Spike, it's funny.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So anything else you guys want to touch upon? I think I've covered my stuff.
I'm curious about where they're going to... I've heard that Samurai is going to be 220-episode seasons, so I'm just kind of curious how things are going to develop in the next 12 episodes or so, because we haven't had a lot of storyline stuff happening so far in the show. We've had... just the Decker stuff to begin with, but no hintings as beyond that. So
yeah, I actually did mention.
I'm really interested to see where they're going to go with this.
I actually did mention to Colton earlier, like last week or something like that, that the first five episodes or so could take place in any order if you take out the Decker stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you stick in Decker, and then the first, you know, four episodes could take place in any order. You know, until Decker appears, it all could take place in any order, and then after that, the Decker stuff could take place in any order.
It's not really the definition of filler episodes.
Right, exactly.
Although I'm not always really opposed to the idea of, you know, one-shot episodes that, you know, build on the characters, give us a chance to get to know them a little bit.
Sure,
even if it's
sure.
not much, it's good to have.
I mean, yeah, well, yeah, like a lot of the, like a bunch of the filler stuff here is actually, you know, fairly decent filler. You know, some of it's a little bit more annoying than others, but, you know, we get some clever stuff.
Yeah, nothing else springs to mind about what to talk about, though.
Okay, so then I guess we can move on into we'll have a little bit less of Lewis in this segment where we talk about what's going on in Japan with Kaijuku Sentai Gokaiger.
Pirates in space.
Yes, woo. Pirates in
with
space.
With all previous Sentai teams.
Yes, all that, which is you know, because we're jumping right into it, which is pretty awesome. The plot of Gokaiger, for you, those of you who don't know, where pirates in space who go and they have the powers of all the previous 34 Sentai teams,
We're not just saying 34 characters. We're saying 34 teams.
Yes, yes. So, for example, the Red Ranger can transform into, and actually, any Ranger can turn into his form into any Ranger from the past. So, the Red Ranger can transform if they're all transforming into Blue Rangers. The Red Ranger can transform into the Blue Car Ranger. And so, any Ranger can transform into any of the previous 34 Rangers. We've gotten 7 episodes so far. Now, Lewis, you just saw the first scene of Gokaiger, where
yeah,
they have
just the Great Legend War,
just the huge Sentai battle,
yeah.
And how amazing was that?
Freaking amazing! I wish it was longer.
Well, you know, you got a whole 7 more episodes. You can always go back and go with those. As for Colton and I, we've been watching the first 7 episodes subtitled in English. Colton, what have you thought so far of Gokaiger?
Well, first off, like I said earlier, the first instant I saw the opening battle, like little previews just before anything was translated, I saw the opening battle, I was like, you know what? If the series is a tenth as awesome as this one scene is, I'm going to love it. So I watched it, and I haven't regretted it. I mean, there's a reason why this anniversary is so grandiose. I mean, it brings together everything for the past 35 years. It touches on just about every Sentai gradually in each episode and gives us a whole new villain that they have to deal with, and slowly they're working their way towards this one goal of getting this ultimate treasure. And we're wondering what that treasure is because we don't really know. I don't even know if they know, but a part of the goal seems to be that they have to learn a bit more about their own powers that they've obtained before they can actually get to that point.
Yeah, I personally stopped watching Power Rangers in I think right after In Space, because you know, I stopped caring. They were all new characters, you know, as a kid. Like, I don't care. These are new people. I don't care anymore. So I stopped watching, and then I was – actually, I think it was right after fifth grade – a kid, I'm 18, just for those who don't know, a kid told me, like, hey, yeah, Tommy's back. I'm like, no, that's Dr. Oliver. He's like, no, that's Dr. Tommy Oliver. I'm like, wait, what? And so then I started watching some Dino Thunder. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the same character. And, you know, I didn't really care much for a little longer, but then, I think Operation Overdrive, 4 years ago, I came back, because it was the 15th season, and I watched a few episodes of that, and so around that time, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I was older, so I found out that, okay, this stuff is based on Japanese stuff. So I watched a few of the Sentai things. I watched, I think, the first whole episode of Magi Ranger, which became Mystic Force in America. And I've watched bits and pieces of Bokenjo, which became Operation Overdrive here in America. And, you know, I was like, oh, this is cool, this is interesting. But I didn't really care. And so when we decided to start up this show, we were originally going to do just a Power Rangers show. And then Colton pointed out that the new Sentai series is starting too, and it's got the characters who can transform into all the previous 34 Sentai series. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. I'll watch it, and we might talk about it. And I watched it, and I'm like, wow, this is freaking amazing. They actually did something similar in Gokaiger, where they just got straight into the action. Like, the first scene was the giant Sentai battle, and then the next scene was them coming down to Earth and fighting more people. So we learn, I think the difference between jumping right into the action in this series versus in Samurai is that in Samurai, it's clear that we were supposed to get episodes before it. There were episodes written before it. We've seen scenes from episodes that were supposed to come before this, as opposed to in Gokaiger, where we know that we're supposed to jump right into it, and we learn about the characters throughout. Colton, what have you been thinking about, let's say, the characters?
Oh, there's all sorts of fun. My favorite is, of course, Captain Marvelous, because first off, best name for a Red Ranger ever. Second of all, he's just so much fun when he just casually goes about his day, like, oh, wait, there's treasure there? Let's go down there.
Yeah.
He's just so quiet into the action. He just, like, what might be common knowledge to some other people, he's just like, I don't know this, but I know that there's treasure down there, and I'm going to get it.
Right, exactly.
I kind of like his more happy-go-lucky attitude compared to some Rangers. It's kind of a fun twist compared to, like, the Blue Ranger, which is the more serious swordsman-type character. We've got Luca, who's the more primary, what you think of a pirate. She's more into the treasure. But even then, we get development. We understand why she wants the treasure. It's a little bit more noble. All these characters are a lot more noble than you originally give pirates credit for. Because
yeah. Well, you learn that that even Captain Marvelous, who, you know, he's the pirate captain, and you realize that that he became this pirate because somebody gave him all the Sentai keys, who Sentai fans might will know from the Bokenja versus Super Sentai, which was the 30th anniversary. It was a 30th anniversary Sentai movie, which had the Bokenja meeting previous Sentai heroes. That character is Aka Red, from that movie, and so that so he gives him this and says, "Go find the treasure." And so then, and then we learn that okay, well, he's doing this because this dying person gave him this, and it's a noble cause of some sort.
Although they are a lot more noble than you expect pirates, they're also not quite as big on the hero thing as the regular right. Sentai are, because while they do their heroics when they really are driven to it, they're also the kind of people who are a lot more personal about their things and are still pirates. They're still out there for their own personal reasons.
Right.
A little bit more than the safety of the people at times, but we do see that they are occasionally driven into helping others.
Well there was a recent filler episode, which I think was episode 6, where Luca, the Yellow Ranger, wanted to get this ring, and so she went to go work for this family, and so, you know, she originally, like, didn't do anything. The monster came down. She wasn't gonna let the monster take the guy out, but she made it look like she was gonna do it until she got the money. And when the episode ended, she gave the guy the money back because his whole house burned down, and etc.
But still being herself, she still took a little bit from the house before
still being
it burned
herself,
down.
She took that ring she wanted. So, you know, it's a give and take, but, you know, they're still noble in some way. The big part of this series is that the characters go and meet previous Sentai heroes. The whole the the great treasure that they're looking for, from context, we've basically figured out that they're looking for the powers of the previous Sentai to completely unlock them so that their own giant mecha is able to take on the powers of previous Sentai mecha. And so, in the third episode, they meet the Red Ranger from Magi Ranger. In the fifth episode, they meet the Yellow Ranger, the Red Ranger, and Doggy
from Deca Ranger.
From Deca Ranger. And then in the seventh episode, they meet the Red Ranger from Geki Ranger. Colton, what have you been thinking about like the reappearance of all these Rangers, and something that's annoying me, and I'm sure they're doing it because they know that people from America are watching, is that they still haven't morphed into Zero Rangers. And I'm just waiting for them to morph into the Zero Ranger so we can get the old Mighty Morphin costumes and watch those fight. But they still haven't done it, and I'm sure they're doing it just to piss us off.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm definitely enjoying the way, like, how each Ranger group has some representative from the original series that they were in question come in, and they interact. They don't necessarily know at the time that these people are in fact the Rangers from previous groups, but they do seem to learn some lesson that this Ranger's trying to teach, and in turn learn a bit more about the power, and that's how they unlock the ability to change and add some of the mechs from the previous series into their own. Like, the mechs are already part of the pirate ship, but
Bukayo.
Yeah, they have to unlock it.
Yeah, exactly.
See the funny theory that I had a while back was that Toei, like, hates Power Rangers, so they try to, so each new Sentai they try to create with more and more difficulty for them to adapt it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, we'll have another big budget series in space. Crap, they're gonna adapt it into SPD. We're gonna do this series, and it's based completely on Japanese lore. Ha! You will never adapt this! Try it! Oh, they're doing it anyway. Okay!
Right.
35 Sentai teams, including ones that have not shown
they
up
They don't
yet.
Even exist in Power Rangers! Oh, you're not gonna make this work, guys, okay?
You know, if they do adapt it, they're just going to say that they're either going to play it straight, like call them the Sentai and say, like, they're the original Japanese teams that were before the original Power Rangers that we see, or they're just going to make them up like they're teams from other planets or other times.
Or they just
won't show any footage that features those teams. They may not even show the Great Legend War sequences.
Which would just be a damn shame. Which would be sad, but it would, you know, if they do what they have to do, which, I mean, they could go get old costumes and make their own version of it. But I think more likely they're just gonna do two seasons of Gosager or two seasons of Shinkenger. You know, they are doing two seasons of Samurai. But I think more likely they're gonna end up doing two seasons of something so that they have to skip over Gokaiger. I don't want that to happen, but I think it's the more likely option.
Just think about it. Next time will be their 20th series. It would be the perfect time to do Gokaiger.
It would. It would be amazing and fantastic and orgasmic, and I would love to see it. But for some strange reason, I don't think they're gonna do it. Also, they'd have to make more toys. But they do. They actually are making the Super Legends toys. Like I did see a few months ago, I saw a White Ranger toy that I almost bought, but I didn't have the money, and I went back later when I had the cash, and they didn't have it anymore. So they are selling the old toys again. So it would be a good idea. It would be possible for them to, you know, keep selling the old toys and have the half-hour-long commercials. Have it all work.
I wonder what they're going to do with the earliest series that don't have mechs. Because the very earliest series were, I think, pretty much pre-mech for a Super Sentai.
Maybe they just won't release toys for them. They just might not feature them. Who knows? Because, like,
maybe for Go Ranger, the original, they'll enter the keys and then suddenly Spider-Man's mech from the Toei series will pop out. It'll even have the theme play in the background. Spider-Man!
Did they transform into the Go Rangers? I know they transformed into the Jack Ace King Q Dengit.
The very first episode they transformed into the previous series Go Sager and the first series Go Ranger.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, and when we didn't know what the Ghost Ranger was because we hadn't seen it yet, we were confused.
Well, they were nice enough to explain that it's the random lady in the background who was a teacher. Is nice to say, hey, those were the first Sentai.
Well, it's nice to hear them yell "Go Ranger" when they transform. Yeah. So, is there anything else you wanted to say? Anything about the Zangyak, the villains that we have?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we're not really... The sad thing is, so far, we're not really seeing much about the main villain cast that we see in the background, because they're mostly just sending fodder at the team. They're really underestimating them at this point. They're like, oh, well, if we send enough of these, like, lesser commanders down, you know, we'll take care of it. But it's proving more and more that they're going to have to get into the action themselves with their full army if they want to do some damage, because even though it took all 34 Sentai to defeat their army originally, they're not with their full force, so they're going to have to take this team a little bit more seriously than this commander and about 100 generic grunts. Mm-hmm. I do like some of the style, like how they all have the same weapons, the gun and sword combo.
Yes.
But yes, sometimes when they're fighting, they'll actually swap. Two characters will have two guns, two characters will have two swords to optimize their fighting style.
Well, yeah, they'll swap around. Well, like Joe, the Gokai Blue, can use the five sword fighting style. Which is just ridiculous.
Oh yes, that was the best attack ever. Where he gets five Blue Ranger keys with five swords.
Yeah,
it's an attack where he sends five different Blue Rangers at him at once before doing like an epic spinning slash.
It's like the five. I think it's called the five Blue Final Wave or something like that. The final wave five blade style Blue Slash, according to Wikipedia.
Yes.
It's just fantastically ridiculous and awesome.
And how each time Ranger pops out the slash, the announcer just yells it out. It's like, Go Sega! Shin Kega!
Yeah.
Machi Ranger! Gao Ranger! Ginga Man!
Ginga Man!
Yeah. I like how he sings that.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, no. And I just want to say, like, I like every single... I have no problem with any single one of these characters. All of these actors are fantastic. The Pink Ranger is a little bit of the... she's not as much of a pirate like a princess who is new, and so she's sort of the damsel in distress, kind of, but not as much, not really.
She's also a moral compass, because half the time when they, you know, leave the bad guys alone to continue pursuing the treasure, she's like, we can't just leave those people to get hurt.
Yeah, and I think my favorite is the green Gokai Green, Don Dog, yeah, or Doc, as everybody calls him. You know, he's just a fun character who's...
He's definitely the most timid and typical to klutz up. He's kind of the silly person of the group, like...
fun, goofy character.
When they reveal the bounties of the characters, the head captain has a 3 million bounty on his head, the second in command Blue Swordsman has 2 million, the princess has 1 million, the Yellow Ranger only has 750,000, but what does the doc have? A 1,000 bounty.
1,000
like, bounty. He's not even worth capturing.
And that's when they bump it up, too. Originally, it started at 1.5 million for Marvelous, 1 million for Joe, the Blue Ranger, 300,000 for the Yellow Ranger, 500,000 for the Pink Ranger, and 100 for Don.
They have no respect for the Green Ranger.
Nobody cares about him.
But he has tried to grow his character in the most recent episode when he tries to learn how to fight to show that he can that even though he's probably the weakest and most timid, that even he can improve himself to better help the team.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I've said numerous times that if they don't make this series as a Power Rangers series, then I am going to go out myself and find five people and make this show myself. Because it's just too much fun to not make. So I don't know if they don't make it. I hope they make it. But for some reason I don't think they're gonna do it. I think it's gonna be like, yeah, too much work. Let's just do two seasons of an old one.
You know, they could always just adapt the upcoming movie, which is gonna have 199 different Rangers in it.
Yeah, right.
They're actually gonna grab they've only announced so far three confirmed groups, but they're gonna have all of Go Kyger, all of Go Sager, and all of the original Go Ranger. And plus rest of them are gonna fill out the 199 Ranger characters that they were gonna have for this giant movie.
So I wanna turn it to Lewis now. Have we convinced you to at least try this series?
No, you haven't. But that's because I honestly just have no interest in the Sentai. It's not acknowledgement that it's bad or that I probably won't see it in the future. It's just at the moment, I grew up with Power Rangers, and that's the thing that I'm a fandom of, not a Sentai.
Yeah, no, I'll probably check out
more if when we get to the Gokaiger adaptation, they don't do anything with the with the other Ranger teams. But
I felt the same way. Like I said, I watched an episode of Maji Ranger, little things here and there of Bokenger, but as soon as I watched the first episode of Gokaiger, I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep going.
It's similar for me, because all I ever watched was, because most of the part I'm just Power Rangers, but then one day I was like, you know what? I like the original Power Rangers series. I want to see what they did with the original Z Ranger. So I gave it a few episodes until I ran out of English translations. But other than that, Go Kyger is the only thing Sentai I've even watched. It's not just nostalgia pulling me in. It's awesome.
Just an episode. Can he watch an episode for us? Just an episode? Maybe just one?
We'll see. I can't guarantee anything. I barely have enough time to watch the Power Rangers series I am trying to watch.
Sure. Okay. All right. If you get time, I want to see you tweet about, you know, oh my god, I just watched episode 1 on Gokaiger. It is amazing.
Or I don't give a crap. Whatever works for you.
Yeah, sure. Actually, one just little interesting thing real quick is that when they actually do meet a previous series, they insert, like, they all had gimmicks for episode titles or something like that. So, like the episode of the Maji Ranger episode, they had a magic spell as part of the title. The Deca Ranger has a title consisting of English words and katakana, like they did in Deca Ranger, and the Geki Ranger had a nonsense phrase that was uttered by the protagonist all the time. So, you know, just an interesting thing they do with the episode titles. Yeah, anything else you wanted to say, Colton?
Yeah, interestingly enough, one of the episodes was directed by someone involved with Power Rangers.
Yes,
and they
that's
threw
right.
in a
episode,
little...
Episode 5 was directed by Koichi Sakamoto, who is the... He's the producer or something like that, I think.
Of Power Rangers,
of
yeah.
Power Rangers. He's some sort of executive producer of some sort for many seasons of Power Rangers. I think from he's been involved from, like, Turbo to RPM or something like that. So, yes.
Yeah, his little addition was, I believe you said it was the way they attacked when they were in RPM.
Yeah,
was
when they were in Go-Onger mode, or Go-Onger, I guess, they had some sort of boot spinning or something like that that they never did in the they never used it as a weapon in the original Sentai, but in RPM they often use it as a weapon, and so they used it as a weapon in this episode. And fans have said that this is probably the reference that he alluded to. There's going to be a Power Rangers reference in that episode. So the fans have been saying that's the reference he's alluding to.
I was expecting to be
April Fool's Day. I remember that on April Fool's Day, some Power Rangers news site posted a fake rumor that Gokaiger was going to include like the Titanium Ranger and the Spirit Rangers from Jungle Fury.
I could just
as they're nod and wink to Power Rangers.
I could see it would be interesting if they brought the Titanium Ranger. The Spirit Rangers maybe not so much. I don't know if they're gonna do that. But it would be interesting if they brought the Titanium Ranger. That wasn't April Fool's prank, but I'm sure it would be interesting.
The thing was the best kind of April Fool's pranks are the ones that are completely plausible.
Like the ones like, yeah, I could see that. That's interesting.
It's definitely possible, because what we haven't gotten yet is we haven't gotten any special Six Ranger type transformations yet, because apparently
we have actually kind of gotten those. I mean, I guess more Fifth Rangers, where like in the most recent episode they transformed into the Geki Rangers, and technically that was a series that started off with three and had three for plenty of time, and then had a fourth, and then they had five Rangers total, and so the Fifth Ranger was kind of the Sixth Ranger,
Know what I'm trying to imply. We haven't had any of those.
Right.
When there's actual Six Rangers, we've just had the main teams.
Well, online I've seen pictures of the Sixth Ranger is apparently going to have he's going to have a chest plate that has a bunch of helmets on there. So like you see, hold on, let me. It's pretty interesting. They've got one. They've got pictures floating around the internet. Mm-hmm. You guys can probably find them. If you look for them, just search Sixth Gokaiger and it's on there. So he's got this body armor that has like eight like 9 or 10 or 12 or a lot of different Sentai six Rangers helmets on there.
Impressive counting ability.
I went to a different page. Hold on, let me count right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I was kidding.
15 different Ranger helmets.
Thanks, Captain Smartass.
Yeah, you know what? You're sitting here mocking my counting ability, so I will count for you. I can immediately see the white from Ob Ranger or Dino Thunder. Right in the front and center is the green Zero Ranger. Right below that, I believe, is the green Samurai Ranger from Ninja Storm or Hurricanger.
Yeah, that's an interesting shield kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know how good it is in battle, but it looks really funky, and you know, and I, it looks like he, it's it looks like he can you know take the shield on and off because it shows a picture of him without the shield and just Silver. So he's.
I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't have some way to launch those helmets off as an attack.
That would be awesome. I think.
I don't think. What I imagine would happen is I imagine it's kind of like buttons, like he would press down on one and then gain the fighting prowess or ability of that particular
one. Yeah, it's true that he has 15 on the front. He might have 15 on the back. I don't know. Who knows? Because because it shows his key, actually. There, right there on the left side, it shows his key that he plugs in and has a bunch of helmets on there, too.
Does this mean speaking of the keys, I always made me wonder if there's an implication that apparently all their powers come from these keys, or is that just what their powers became after they lost them?
I don't know. It is interesting, something you might not like, Lewis, is that they have cell phones. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know. I think I've seen their morphing. I can't remember. But by this point, it's just cell phone morphers are just kind of... I have to accept them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a little bit more annoying in Mystic Force where they're magic.
See, I have seen that. That's actually one of the few times where the cell phone, I actually really like that because it's not just the numbers into the cell phone and it's activated. That thing becomes like a freaking magic wand. That's cool.
Right, and they did mention, in the first episode that, hey, this is like, hey, we can't just walk around with magic wands, so they turned it into a cell phone to make it more or less conspicuous.
Hmm.
Or in
Samurai that the Samurizers, it's not just like in Wild Force where they type in the button and then just like hold it up to their ear. That's annoying to me.
It was 2000,
but,
man.
Having them actually do different things than just be cell phones, that I'm a little more accepting of.
Like with the Samurai Rangers, they're using what's functionally calligraphy brushes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's a little bit more laser styled than the original Shinkager, which looked like actual paintbrushes. But I can see the use of a little bit more stylized changing versus just dial it in, like with I like Gokiger's way because it may look like a cell phone, but they actually plug in these keys and turn them on.
They plug the keys in because they have separate keys. Yeah, that is true.
Brings a whole new meaning to unlocking new powers.
I also like the theme song.
It's catchy.
It invokes a sense of fighting spirit.
All Ranger series need good themes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no denying that.
It's a fun opening, and the ending is actually they're going through all the previous Sentai series, so like they summarize the plot of Go Ranger in a sentence, and they summarize the plot of each series in a sentence, basically.
But they have to do three different versions because there's just so many.
So yeah, there's three different endings. because the first ending they'll show this, and then the next episode they'll show. So you watch three episodes in a row, and it'll show the three different endings, and it's pretty awesome.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the way when they do use the keys, like how the way the different robots work and they have different functions, like how like arms and legs will pop out, like their normal weapons like pops out of their chest and their arms and legs pop open, and it's like the cannonball shoot up. But when they actually unlock the powers of the next group, they can actually like different functions of the mech will pop out, like Magi Dragon will pop out in part, and they'll be able to attack with it, but also be able to fly out and like bind their enemies.
Yeah, yeah. The Deca Ranger stuff will pop. I think it's the car, right? It's not the dog.
Yeah, the police car.
Yeah, the police car will pop out and.
The weirdest one was a Geki Ranger, which was the Jungle Fury one, because we've only seen it used once because it was the newest episode. But when he unlocks it, instead of being some kind of mecha coming out, all these compartments open, then six mechs just jump out and like tear through the opponent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As opposed to the first two, which sort of merge with the actual mech, these just pop out and attack, and then go back.
I think it's an interesting touch the way their giant robot works versus the other ones, in that they can call on the old robots. Which makes you wonder, are they stored in there some way, or is the key's power actually creating them in that instant?
That is an interesting question. I don't know if we should try to figure out the physics of Sentai right now.
I'm studying special relativity right now.
A whole other discussion.
I can do whatever I want.
I'm sure they have some sort of wormhole inside the Gokaio that can get them all out.
Because I don't think there's room in that thing for 35 giant robots.
Okay, so is that it? Is that all you want to talk about?
I think that's everything, unless you've got something, Lewis.
I think that's
nothing
it.
Nothing springs to mind.
All right. All right, Colton, you had a topic idea that you want to talk about. Why don't you explain it to us?
Well, generally speaking, we have all these series that go on and on and on, but of course there's also connections to the old series, and there's way they do things differently. I thought we could touch on what we might think makes these series a little bit more individual from their past selves, but yet also like what connects them. Compare and contrast.
What always unites them all is this idea of gaining powers to fight for the greater cause, for great justice. It's always about becoming superheroes and fighting the good fight. Recurring themes seem to be having a normal life outside of being the superheroes, interpersonal relationships, and just dealing with the forces of evil.
Well, trying to be a high school student.
What makes them different, it's always about concept and execution. For example, Wild Force is a very nature-themed kind of Power Rangers series, and it takes a huge emphasis on it. But on that same regard, Lost Galaxy was supposed to have also kind of a nature thing going for it, but it was a lot more subtle in its execution, since it was trying to be more of a space series overall.
So it was accidentally subtle, really.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, what I see in the series, like for example, Samurai, you've got a lot of touch on that. A lot of these series have like almost warriors codes going for them, because a lot of the series' powers involve around like different types of warriors. I mean, some don't, but generally speaking, like you've got your samurais, you've got your ninjas, you've got roles like that. But what I like is how they actually try to pull in the ninja culture a little bit, or samurai culture a little bit more, because like in Ninja Storm, we had a samurai with the Green Ranger, but we never really touched on a lot to do with the samurai, versus this series, it seems like they're trying to pull the culture in itself a little bit more, or at least an American or American-esque interpretation.
Right, yeah, whereas in the previous series, they tried to ignore the fact that this was Japanese in any way whatsoever. Where in RPM, it was interesting, because like, I watched a few episodes here and there of RPM, and they had one scene where they had to use the Sentai footage of, I guess it was an RV or something like that, and the RV said "Go Onger" on it, and so it was like, what does that say, "Go Onger"? And so it's like, oh yeah, my dad originally had the Go Onger project, and that's what this is. Okay, let's keep going. whereas this is kind of hard to ignore the fact that it's from Japan, seeing as it's samurai. Even in the ninja stuff, they had Ninja Storm, which actually even Alien Rangers was originally a Ninja Sentai, where they made it aliens instead. And Ninja Storm, they completely ignored anything. You know, they had the word samurai, and they were assumed Japanese people, but they ignored anything. But as for samurai is very ingrained in Japanese culture, I thought it would be difficult for them to do it in the first place. In my head, it was like, why don't they should just skip to Ghost Ager, because it seems that it'd be easier to adapt. But they managed to decide, okay, well, I guess we'll keep the fact that it's Japanese culture, because it's hard to do without that.
It's getting to the point where they can't really just change too much anymore, because it's just going to get very convoluted when they keep trying to make little cultural changes here and there.
Though the appearance of the original Japanese name is just one of those recurring elements in the Sentai footage.
Yeah.
For example, back in Power Rangers in Space, we would see Mega Ranger a lot of the time in the background. Hell, even Zane's Morpher said Mega.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
which is not that bad, because it is an English word and you can't just
assume. Yeah, a lot of times they push that aside, like, oh, Mega Ranger, what are you talking about? That's not there. And Zane, you know, it makes sense, because it's called the Mega Winger. That's why. even a lot of times, if you know, you wouldn't notice this watching it, but even the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, when they were morphed, you know, you'd see the Sentai footage, and while their morphers said Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the American footage, in the Sentai footage it would clearly say G-Ranger on it, and you know, you.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to get around.
G-Ranger appeared a lot in the first season footage.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get around that, but you know.
We did have the advantage of being little kids and this came on, so it was less noticeable.
Right, exactly.
Oh, the Mega Dragon Zord, or the Dragon Mega Zord, I can't remember what the hell they called that form. The one that shot out a giant Z, which made no sense for American audiences.
Oh, yes, King Caesar.
Yeah. Well, in Space, the Psycho Rangers were originally called... it was something with an N, I guess. I forget what it was exactly. So their belts had N's on them. And it's like, that made no sense. Oh, it's like, oh, yeah.
It's a stylized thing.
Yeah, exactly.
dial Q for help, basically.
Yeah. So it's a lot of things that they try to avoid they've tried to avoid the fact that anything has anything to do with Japan, but with Samurai, they seem to be pushing towards, like, hey, well, I guess, you know, it's kind of hard to avoid it. It's Samurai.
I mean, they're drawing kanji in the air. I mean,
exactly, yeah,
so much
they're,
you can avoid.
Their helmets have kanji on them. It's kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah.
Oh, just imagine how messed up editing would be. Like, they have to change everything. Like, the leader has, like, an S or something, or a Z, and he just draws that in the air, and then his helmet has to be remade for, like, a giant Z on it.
Yeah.
So, okay, every piece of Sentai footage we have to change that around.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's hard to ignore Japanese when you have so much Japanese ingrained in it. Like you said, it seems like Toei's just trying to keep it, make it so that they can't do it. Even Ghost Ager, which is supposed to be about, I think, heavenly angels or something, kind of hard to adapt that for a kid's show in America.
It is kind of true with us.
It really, now that I think about it, it really does seem like they're making it harder and harder to do.
It's getting to the point where it would be cheaper for them to make their own suits and their own stories in original film than have to edit all this Japanese footage. I can't even imagine what the next series is going to be. It's just probably going to be ridiculous. It's like, oh yeah, but there's another 35 Sentai we're inventing just right now to join the previous 35. And then it's going to be a 70, and they're all going to be on scene at once. They're going to combine like 70 mechs at once into one giant planet-sized robot.
It does seem like it's sort of biting themselves if Toei's doing that, because they're trying to make some money. How much money? I'm sure Power Rangers makes them enough money that they wouldn't want to do that. But who knows? Maybe they're just annoyed with it.
It's Toei. They find weird ways to not make money by doing stupid things.
Oh, Toei. Anything else, Colton? Anything else you guys wanted to say about this topic?
Power Rangers is freaking awesome.
I could agree with that.
Yeah, that seems like a good way to end the show.
I would love for Samurai to have the main cast stick around for several seasons.
Yeah,
I missed show-to-show continuity.
Yeah, that was cool. I don't think that this will happen, but they are still filming in New Zealand and everything, so it's possible. Do you think we'll see a team-up?
With RPM?
With RPM.
Unlikely.
It's probably unlikely, because RPM, sort of, the way it worked, it's kind of...
RPM, the way it worked, it doesn't allow itself well for team-ups. Plus, there's that rumor about Jonathan Zacher saying that everything that happened while he was gone was like didn't happen or something like that.
No, that's kind of...
Which is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
It is a total bunch of crap.
We can just ignore that.
Ignoring that, yeah, RPM does not lend itself well to team-ups. It would be great if it did, even though I haven't seen RPM. I still love team-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, RPM was actually pretty dark, but it was I watched a few episodes here and there, and it was pretty cool. I would like to see the characters return, even in some sort of you know, minor fashion, like they didn't they stopped doing team ups after
Once a Ranger.
Even before Once a Ranger, they did Once a Ranger was their last team up, but that like before that they hadn't done a team up.
Yeah, before that, Mystic Force did not have a
Mystic
team
Force,
up.
Yeah, Mystic Force didn't have a team up, but they did have they had.
I heard two in SPD.
Yeah, there were two one-episode team-ups that sort of connected, but it was kind of cool. But Mystic Force had Piggy appear for a scene. So, like they had continuity, but they didn't have team-ups.
Mm. Which is a shame, because I think that's one of the coolest things that you can do, is, like, bring back the old team, recognize the old and the new, and have them fight together as a common ally to a common enemy.
Sure, which is
the main thing about team-ups, and it's something I'll get into when we... During each of the team ups I discuss in the episodes, though having seen Once a Ranger, it's arguably the worst team up episode, if only because it does the one thing you should never ever ever do with a team up episode, and that's denigrate one team over another. And in this case, it really really makes all the old Rangers look better than the Overdrive team.
Well, getting into that a little bit, it's sort of like, hey, these guys lost their powers, they're pinch hitting for them. They were saying, hey, listen guys, we're just doing this until you guys get your powers back.
And then they quit.
Right, well, yeah.
Here's the thing, and I know I kind of brought this up earlier with how I kind of wanted to see the Samurai Rangers give up for a bit. But that's because, as in Samurai, it very clearly is a much larger part of their lives and the sacrificing of their own personal lives for this goal. Whereas from what I've seen of Overdrive, I don't like these people. I've only seen one Star Ranger and one other episode, but I don't like these people. They really are not appealing to me and look kind of like assholes.
Yeah, I'd like to see your thoughts when you actually get to the series in your reviews, because, you know, from circumstantial evidence, they do seem kind of like jerks. Like, I watched a few episodes when I was watching it, and they seemed okay, and then recently I watched Once a Ranger again, I'm like, yeah, these guys are kind of assholes.
So maybe not because of like some greater goal. They quit because they're freaking bored.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it's also like, hey, listen, we came to help the world and we can't really do much. So
they still have their superpowers. They didn't do well against the two, what, I don't know who the hell those two were, because of course I didn't watch Overdrive, but they didn't do too badly. I mean, you know, teaming up, they could probably still take on the putty troops of the season.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, we've got this team here. They'll help me in the world. But yeah,
the big comparison I'm going to bring up, though, is that in almost every season before this, there is usually a scene where the Rangers have lost their powers or they're just in their lowest note, even in that they still want to help. They want to charge in, powers be damned, and they'll still fight.
Well, they did in the end.
Except they still had their civilian in the end.
Well, no, but, I mean, when they got the sword out.
Yeah, except when they get the sword out, they wanted to give up again because
they did. That is true.
Time.
That's kind of.
This is so sad on so many levels.
I know. I'm sorry, but Once a Ranger to me is a mic. I don't know if I'll be right or not, because like I said, I haven't watched Overdrive, but it feels like Once a Ranger is a microcosm of everything that is wrong with Overdrive. And it showcases how all the previous seasons were so much better.
which is the worst possible thing to do. If anything, you want to make your new show look better than the old shows, not the other way around, because that kind of makes people not want to care.
You want to sell toys!
Which is why To the Tenth Power and Reinforcement from the Future are just so awesome team-ups, because both teams get their chance to shine, both teams get to work together, and it really feels like there's an actual team-up here.
I had lots of fun with you haven't talked about this yet, so I'm just gonna mention it. I had lots of fun with Thunderstorm. I think it was Thunderstorm, right?
Thunderstorm was good. It's probably on my list of team ups, probably number three, because that one also has a similar problem to Once a Ranger, but to not as bad an extent.
Well,
it seems like the Dino Thunder Rangers are actually kind of tacked on, because it's the Ninja Storm Rangers who resolve the major plot points.
Well, I mean, they resolve things separately, and then in the big fight scene, it's like, you know. In the big fight scene, they're all working totally together,
The fight scene itself is still good, and seeing them actually be together, plus the fact that they did something different with the team-up, gives it a lot of points.
Well, which is, I'm pretty sure that's one of the few team-ups where they actually used Sentai footage. Where the Wind Rangers versus the Dino Rangers, I'm pretty sure, was Sentai footage.
I'd have to take another look at it to know for certain, but I think I read that somewhere,
but that's I'm not positive. I'm fairly certain, though, that's Sentai footage, which is why Lothar came back down with two weird monsters, because those are in the Sentai footage.
I'm starting to get sad that we're not seeing more team-ups lately, because it's just got so much potential with all these teams, and you could even do larger team-ups with multiple groups if you really put in maybe like a two-part or three-part episode thing.
Yeah, actually, a few weeks ago, I think, right after your Ninja Storm review dropped, I'm like, okay. Like, I watched it, I'm like, you know what? I like these Ninja Storm Rangers. I hadn't actually watched a lot of Ninja Storm, but I went back and, like, decided to go back and watch a bunch of, like, random episodes, so I watched both the Dino Thunder team ups, the Thunderstorm, and I watched
SPD.
Both the SPD episodes. And I'm like, yeah, this is fun. I'm waiting for your next review to drop. You know, I'm not pushing you right now. Don't worry.
I'm looking forward to the Dino Thunder team ups. I've only gotten to about episode 6 or so in SPD.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it because I actually really liked Dino Thunder.
I preferred the second one. But the first one was pretty cool too.
I hear Tommy, they couldn't get Jason David Frank for it, so they got someone who really doesn't sound like him at all.
They actually got they got Trent voice Tommy. and because I guess they're like, oh, your Jason David Frank impersonation is okay. So he had like three or four lines. It wasn't a lot. So
it's gonna be Billy all over again. He's speechless.
It's not that bad. It's not as bad. But like he jumps in the costume, and which is funny because like it's just because they had him jump in the costume. He could have recorded it from L.A., but I guess he was busy with something. They couldn't contact him or something, and so they're like, we'll just have Trent do it.
He's like, I'm finally free from this. No, I'm not doing your voiceover.
which is interesting that that Tommy has met every Red Ranger from Mighty Morphin to SPD. And then past that he hasn't, but because there was Forever Red, and then he met the Red Ranger he met Shane in Thunderstorm, and then obviously
he was in Dino Thunder.
Right, yeah. Obviously Connor, they hung out. They met once or twice, I think.
He went to class a couple of times.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes, I am excited to see what you do with that. It wasn't as terrible as some of the other impersonations to try to get, and they only gave him a couple lines because they're like, oh, well, Jason's not coming back, so, do these 2-3 lines. And at least Trent's not an Australian. He's actually Canadian. and so is Ethan. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, is that very looking forward to that.
Yeah. So
did we cover everything?
I think we covered everything.
I think we covered everything.
So that's it. That's it for this first episode of Podcast Sentai Power Ranger. Lewis, if people want to look for you on the internets, where would they find you?
They would find me on thatguywiththeglasses.com. Or at atopfourthwall.blogspot.com for my blog.
And your Twitters is?
My Twitters is linkara19.
Okay, and Colton, you're at other places besides here. You do every podcast I do, you're also involved in.
Pretty much, yes. I'm just leeching off of other more talented people to get myself out there.
Yeah, and so every podcast that I'm on is at iamkuhan.com. That's iamkuhan. You'll find this show there, and then you'll also find my other two shows, which are about comic books, like Linkara's shows. So
we have a mental bond.
We talk about comic books and Power Rangers. It's like we're one and the same. So that's it for this show. I hope you guys check us out next time. It's going to be a little bit different because this was all. You know, we talked about seven or eight episodes for each series. Next time we're going to be talking about one episode per series. This show is going to be weekly. So join us next time when we talk about more Power Rangers.
On the next Mighty Morphin Power Rangers!
よ仮面に受けて願いは一つ青い空黄色を潔人渦巻く街にピンクの頬の5人の戦士風化せ緑の明日の風を Go!5つの力を1つに合わせて叫べ勝利の雄たけびを秘密戦隊 Go Ranger!
It is also cool that they have, I cannot remember his name right now. And I sound like an idiot because I was halfway through a sentence. it is cool that they have, and I'm not even sure if he's actually in the show. Maybe I'm thinking about something else. I thought they had the guy who played Yamcha in Dragon Ball Z, but maybe he was in something else. I think he might have been in Shinkenger. Okay, so I'm going to cut that all out.
By the way, just I hate to be that guy, but since everyone keeps correcting my pronunciation here, apparently Z-Ranger is actually pronounced Jew-Ranger.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm in America.
Jew-Ranger! Yeah, they kind of do that in the show.
Jew-Ranger! No.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly the worst way to hit the sound.
Yes, exactly.
Jew-Ranger! Jew-Ranger! Bumping, buffering, buffering. Okay, go.
Insert soundbite here. there's probably something else I wanted to say something, but I don't remember what it was anymore. So Colton, you proposed the topic. What did you want to specifically?
Okay, well.
Because
we want to get everything right.
I did notice that I was on Facebook and I'm a fan of Power Rangers on Facebook, and apparently the Samurai Rangers were in Chicago, and they had pictures of them in Chicago. I'm like, oh, I should have dropped downtown and been like, hey, what's up? I watch your show. I'm an adult.
Spoken like a true 18-year-old. I'm an adult.
I'm not a part of your system. yes.